What's up, everybody? This is Drew, aka Aren't You Funny, bringing you yet another episode of Peace of Mind. So this is episode 16, I believe. We did a huge three-part episode with Aunt Lee for episode 15, and I absolutely loved it. I really enjoyed doing this, and it was really cool putting out something like super personal. Honestly, just for me, if other people liked it, that's cool too, but, it felt really good to just kind of get that out there. Hope that maybe, somebody found something useful out of that and whatnot, but, ultimately I love being able to put out that story like that, because I think that's an incredibly important story, and a lot of people want to take a dump on substance use issues and on just anything related to that. And I feel like that might help show substance use in a different light and show that it doesn't always just come from what I think people kind of get this idea of about, like, oh, well, you know, substance addictions are a choice, and people just want to be miserable and people want to do those things. It's like, yeah, sometimes they do, but it's about how they get there that I think is really important. And so, you know, I think I don't have the answers for how Uncle Tom got there or anything along those lines, but we can definitely take some guesses and notice some things after the fact. So yeah, hopefully people that are struggling with substances heard that, or people that are supporting those that are struggling with substances, or whatever the case may be. I hope that impacted somebody, because it ended up really impacting me a lot more than I thought, and I'm very thankful for that. So I'm also very thankful for you, because ultimately you all are the reason that I do this, and you all are the reason that I continue to decide to talk about whatever's going on. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity and the fact that the podcast keeps getting listens and shares, and people just continue to seem to be interested. And I'd always hoped that would be the case, but I never really knew that's what would happen. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is anxiety. Cause I have my own struggles with it. Some of my anxiety had kind of kicked in about the podcast, because I had done, a few episodes, and while I felt like it was good content and the people that I talked to enjoyed it, it didn't really seem to get as much traction as I thought it would based upon the feedback that I was getting. And then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, we get this ridiculous amount of listens and whatnot. I don't even know what the numbers are now, but I know that I've checked them not too long ago and I was absolutely blown away. So I truly, 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 and please hear this, I truly appreciate that you all continue to share the podcast and that you all continue to get the word out about it, because that is ultimately the hope and dream for this. I want to be able to get this content out there to as many people as possible and help find anybody that might be struggling. I know that sometimes people find that solace in a lot of different places. For me, it's music. I find a lot of solace in music. There is something about it that just absolutely hits my soul. Sometimes people find that solace in podcasts and hearing other perspectives and viewpoints and hearing about the ways that people deal with things to help them kind of examine their own life and look at how they're doing things. And that is the purpose of this podcast. So for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, this is an incredibly long introduction and kind of like a small preview of what the episode's going to be about. But, this podcast is essentially about, how, how people deal with their struggles and what those struggles even are, and just kind of putting a voice to some of those struggles and giving people an opportunity to share their experiences, share their struggles, their successes, their everything, whatever people want to talk about. Because ultimately, I feel like all experiences matter, and ultimately, there's somebody out there that's going through something similar. I'm not going to say the same, because we never have any of the same experiences. We're shaped by a lot of things that go on in our lives. However, I think being able to get that stuff out there is really important, because there's somebody out there right now that is struggling and could use hearing this content. So hopefully you will continue to be amazing people just like you have been, and continue to share it and help the podcast grow and reach people. So anyway, again, I know that's kind of a long introduction, but I feel like that's something that I haven't really had time to say as much, because I've been so focused on other things. So if you didn't guess, today I am flying solo. That we don't have a guest today, so it's just going to be me and you. And sometimes I really like these episodes, because it gives us an opportunity to hear me ramble, which may be a good or a bad thing depending on how you look at it. But it also gives us an opportunity to really look at things in a little bit more depth. And it also gives me an opportunity to kind of pull from all the experiences I've had as a mental health professional. So hopefully that will be incredibly helpful to you all. So like I said before, I am a mental health professional by day. So, I'm a therapist, and but I think one thing to keep in mind with this, for the usual disclaimer, is that while I am a mental health therapist, I'm not your mental health therapist. And even if I am, that's not the purpose of this podcast. So this isn't intended to replace anything that you've got going on. Instead, it should make it even better, or augment things, or whatever. So I definitely don't recommend, if you are going to get any kind of counseling or whatever the case may be, don't stop. Please continue, because ultimately I'm just a guy on the internet. I can give you some thoughts and some feedback, but sometimes things are going to be really relevant to you, and sometimes they aren't. Sometimes there are going to be things that are really hard that we talk about that, you just find a little bit too challenging to hear or to experience, or, things hit a little bit too close to home, and you're like, I just can't do this right now. That's okay. Ultimately, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not, you're not stomping on my dreams or anything along those lines. It's purely just for your enjoyment and hopefully, again, getting something out of it. So, I think the other important thing to this is that if you do find yourself in a particularly bad situation and you just are not feeling safe, either you're going to hurt yourself or you're going to hurt someone else or whatever the case may be, don't rely on this podcast for that, or me as a resource for that, because ultimately, as much as I would love to help, I am just a guy on the internet. So I'm not going to be able to come to your rescue and be able to talk you down from, what I would consider a mistake, but I'm trying to commit suicide or anything along those lines. As much as I would love to help, I'm just not going to be the right resource for it. However, there are some really good resources out there. So, if you decide that you are feeling that way, I would highly recommend that you reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. Or if you just Google crisis services in your city and state, you should be able to find somebody that will be able to help you much more effectively than I ever could. So hopefully, if you're out there, know that you do matter. I know this is something that people talk about a lot and people will throw out there a lot, but truly, you do matter. And, know that if you feel like nobody else cares, I care. I care about your life. I want you to live. I want you to be the best possible version of you that you can be. And I feel like it's really hard to do that when you're dead. Granted, I'm not an expert on the afterlife, so I don't know these things, but I do feel like if you're dead, it's a little bit hard to be your best self, at least as far as we know it. So With all of that being said, we're going to hop into some anxiety talk, and we're going to hop into hopefully a wide-ranging conversation about anxiety, because I don't necessarily struggle with anxiety on like a clinical level where I need medication or I need any kind of like therapeutic intervention for anxiety or anything along those lines. But I do, I struggle with it, honestly, at times. And it's not all the time, but it's definitely often enough that I'm like, okay, well, I need to make sure I keep this in check, you know, whatever the case may be. But I have great supports, and I have great things that I put in place that we talk about all the time that help me keep things in check. And when I recognize that it is running a little off on its own, I reach out to those supports, and I do what I can to put things in place for myself where I'm like, all right, you know, I'm okay. Things are fine. And I think that that's something that gets overlooked quite a bit. And I could be wrong on this. I don't want to misspeak. So somebody, I'm sure, you know, somebody on the internet, feel free to correct me on this one if I am wrong. But I'm pretty sure that almost, if not every episode, almost every episode has talked about finding your support network, because ultimately that is the most important thing, is finding somebody or something that you can connect with on some level. Because going through a lot of this stuff alone is miserable, and it is so easy to get caught in a catch-22 or an endless loop, you know, however you want to describe it. It's easy to get stuck in that stuff, and it's incredibly overwhelming, and that's when things get really hard. So if that means reaching out to a therapist, if that means reaching out to a trusted friend or a family member, or, and family doesn't have to be biological, whatever, the important part is that you reach out to somebody and check in and let them know what's going on, to whatever degree you're comfortable, and let them know, like, hey, this is something I'm struggling with right now, and I could really at least just use a listening ear. I don't need you to fix it for me. Like, I don't need you to come through and do all these extra things. I just need to vent about this. I just need to get it out there, put it out in the universe, and move on. Because sometimes that's all it takes. I'm not going to act like that's a fix-all for everything, but I've found that to be incredibly helpful myself, and I know a lot of other people that talk about the exact same thing. So I think that's one of the most important places to start, at least for me, because I think that support system is a huge key. So backtracking a little bit. So what do I consider to be anxiety? Well, anxiety, as far as I'm concerned, has a wide range of presentations, or a wide range of the ways that it looks. So it could be that anxiety comes in panic attacks. It could be that it comes in worry. It could be that it comes in stress. It could be that it comes in a lot of different ways. But ultimately, that's why the new diagnostic manual for mental disorders has made a lot of things like on a spectrum, because ultimately, while it may be the case that there are some specific things going on, ultimately we may all be in like a similar category, but have incredibly different experiences of essentially what the same thing is. So, for anxiety, again, it could be panic attacks, it could be stress, it could be worry, it could be irrational fears, it could be a lot of things. Ultimately, I guess what it comes down to is there's something that ends up bothering you that's worry-related. PTSD also used to be in like the anxiety family previously. I think that's changed now, but I could be wrong on that. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, which I know makes me horrible, but that's okay. Ultimately, it was in that realm as well. So, but that's also something that's very worry related. So, you had this horrible thing happen and now it bothers you and stresses you out. So, hey, kind of makes sense. So as far as my experience with anxiety, I have a wide range of experience. And that's everything from panic attacks to just general stress and worry to some irrational fears, and there are times where it's taken me to a dark place. That's not a particular point. I know I talked previously about like how I had considered committing suicide at one point. It wasn't anything related to that. It didn't. It wasn't anxiety related. It wasn't fear provoked or anything along those lines. It was completely different. It was just crappy life circumstances at the time. But it can lead to that, and it can lead to the point where you're like, I just can't take this fear anymore. I can't take this doubt anymore. I can't take any of those things. So, talking about a lot of the different ways it looks, sometimes it can lead to that. One other important thing to note with anxiety is that it's super common to have like bodily symptoms. So it could be that your anxiety gets you to the point where you feel like you've got a knot in your stomach the whole time, or I mean all the time, or it could be where you start realizing that you run hot a little bit more, or and you end up like sweating and stuff, or it could be that you feel like your heart's beating out of your chest a lot, or it could be that you notice that you're getting really tired a lot more often from just constantly being like in what we call fight or flight mode. So constantly being like on edge, ready to go, watching all your surroundings, making sure that you're paying attention, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, there's medical terms for all this, but I don't feel the need to throw all those out there because ultimately the people the people that do know the medical terms know that this is what we're talking about anyway. So ultimately it can be all of those things, and I've experienced a lot of them. I've definitely had a lot of difficulty with panic attacks, and well, I say a lot of difficulty. I've had panic attacks. I've had three of them in my life, I think. That sounds about right. So I'll say three just for the sake of brevity for the show. But I've had that experience. I've had the debilitating fear. I've had I think the self-doubt is probably the biggest one, because then it plays like anxiety will play with your mind, and it'll really make you question a lot of things, and it'll call a lot of things into question, things that you knew to be true. And there's nothing quite like having your entire core shaken like that. There's no, nothing I can really compare it to that would make sense, other than like, I don't know, maybe like taking a tree out, looking at its roots, and then sticking it back in there. Like, I don't know, that's the best I've got. It's a horrible example, but I mean, that's really. It can truly hit you at your core. And then you find yourself, and I do this all the time anyway. I'm a processor, right? So I'll go into a conversation and I'm fine, and I'll have a normal conversation, and several of my friends can attest to this as well, and they'll probably laugh at me, should they hear this. They'll be like, "Yep, that's true." But there are times where I'm fine. I have a normal conversation. Like, things seem fine. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, for those of you familiar with internet culture, you know, the kind of Kermit meme will pop up of like this dark Kermit, and he's like, you, and then like your inner voice. So yeah, everything will be fine. And then that inner voice pops up and it's like, hey bro, did you think about this? Like, did you see this? Did you hear the way that that was said? I'm like, man, here we go again. Here we go. Stupid inner Drew. Shut up. I was doing fine. I was having a nice, normal day. Now all of a sudden you got to make me go back and rethink all of this and relive it again and think about things from every angle. And, oh, well, did you offend someone? Like, did you end up messing with somebody's feelings? Did you end up hurting somebody? You know, all of those just nonsensical questions that sometimes are based in reality and sometimes aren't. But I know if I don't give them their time and I don't respect them, then I will end up eating them at some point and it will drive me nuts. So instead, I just decide to give them their time. I'm like, you know what? Cool. Enter me. This is what you want to look at. This is what you want to discuss. Fine. We'll do it for you because I know you're not going to leave me alone otherwise. But when I do that, I'm fine. And then if I feel like I need to do follow-up, then I do follow-up. So, and that's where the support people come into play. So if I don't feel like I can follow up with somebody, you know, the person or the situation with whom the worry is about, then I follow up in a different way. And I kind of check myself against trusted people. So, and she'll probably hate me for using this as an example, but my wife, right? So I'll talk to my wife all the time about, okay, am I seeing this? Am I just being a complete idiot on this one? Like, what's the situation here? What's going on? So, but because I know that I can trust her, and because I know that, you know, she is yet to steer me wrong, or she is yet to tell me that, you know, oh, well, to tell me something damaging or to put me in a place where I would question her judgment, then I know, like, okay, so if I have a concern, I can talk to her, things are fine, and we'll figure it out. But there are times where I have to lay a situation out for her. Say, okay, so I know that I'm probably being irrational about this. I know that. I'm not ignorant to the fact that this is probably stupid. However, this is bothering me. I need to figure this out. If I don't figure this out, I'm going to think about it until the end of time and wonder, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? You know, did I impact somebody in a bad way that I don't want to do that to? Did I end up creating some sort of crap situation for myself in the future now? Did I just completely ruin that friendship? Did I just completely ruin that relationship? Did I miss that opportunity that I should have absolutely nailed? I do that for several reasons. One of which is to make sure that I don't miss another opportunity or that I don't run into this again. But that's only because, and I know that typically I try to save like the dealing with things, you know, how we deal with things toward the end of the episode, but today we're going to mix that up a little bit because I feel like it's really hard for me to keep that on track. So, you know, the way that I deal with that is I look at a situation, I look at an example, and I say, okay, so this thing happened, whatever this thing is. I need to learn from this and figure out what's going on so I don't make the same mistake again. And the biggest thing to that, before I even get to that part, is I have to give myself permission to feel these things, to look at them, and to act, you know, to kind of go through this, because I have to remind myself that yes, while it may seem silly in the moment, there's a reason that this is sticking with me. There's some sort of something going on that I feel like needs to be resolved. So whatever that may be, I don't know. But I do know that if I give myself the time to look at it and I take the energy, I know it will be worth it and it will pay off. So, and I know that to be true. I've done that. And that is, I mean, that is my recipe for success when it comes to this, is giving myself the time and opportunity, because my mind is holding on to that for something. Either, you know, it may be that that something is small, and it may be that that something feels silly in the moment, but for whatever reason, it is meaningful to me. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So then I give myself permission to say, okay, I really need to look at this. And I need to remember that while I may feel silly, it is important. Because if I don't do this, it's going to continue to bug me, and I don't want that. So that's my starting point. I say, okay, Drew, I know you need to, you know, I know that this is silly. You need to look at this. You need to look at this. You need to figure this out. You need to figure out whatever it is that you need to figure out, whether it's a plan of action or whether it's, you know, talking to somebody, or whether it's just learning from that situation and saying, okay, you should have done things differently there. Now you know. Next time, don't make the same mistake. Because if you make the same mistake, you've got nobody but yourself to blame. So, and that's what I do. So then I'll take a situation where I was like, okay, so an example of that is something at work, right? So I had a meeting with someone recently at work, and it was a very important meeting to me in a lot of different ways. And I realized after the meeting that there was something that I meant to say to that person, and I didn't do it. And it, because I'd gotten wrapped up in the moment, the flow of the conversation, all that good stuff. So I didn't take the time that I needed to do that. And I felt like it was an incredible mistake. I was like, no, this is important. This person should know this. So instead of me just sitting there on it and, you know, going into my spiral of, you know, the shoulda, coulda, woulda game, and the, oh, well, if I had done this, then this would have happened. And if I had done this, then this would have happened. And that endless cycle of possibilities and alternate universes and all that good stuff, I skip all of that. And I just take action. I say, you know what? Cool. I should have said something. I meant to do that. I went in there with that mindset of reminding myself to do that. And then I forgot because I wanted to be respectful of their time. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't being a nuisance. You know, I wanted to make sure all of those things. So instead, I found an alternate way to do that. And actually, it worked out for the better. Because then I at least had like a form of record of me doing that, so that that way it wouldn't just be something that's like, okay, did I say that or did I not say that? I meant to, and did it come across this way? Whatever. And I think the other piece to that is then it also shows that I care, which is really important in a job, because they want to know that you care. They want to know that you're invested. They want to know that you're involved. And so taking the time to write, what I did was write an email. So taking the time to write that email showed them that, yes, I am interested. I am involved. I am trying to do these things. I am trying to do what I can to further myself and all of those different things. So it was really important to me that this person know that. And the way that I did it was through email, because that was the next best available way to do it. A phone call wasn't really an option, and all those different things. But had I not taken the time to look at that, and had I not taken the time to honor that anxious feeling and thought, I would probably still be sitting here with it, just sullen and angry with myself and playing the blame game of the, you know, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Well, if I would have done this, then this would have happened. If I would have done this, then this would have happened. And so on and so forth and all that stuff. Like, I don't know any of that. I don't know that. But what I do know is that I did take advantage of the opportunity. I did decide to throw that email out there. And now I know I don't have to do the guessing game anymore. It is my reality because I chose to make it so. And, you know, the results don't matter at that point. What does matter for my peace of mind, you know, hashtag roll credits, is I did what I needed to do to feel comfortable. And once I felt comfortable, I was fine. It's like, okay, I've done my part. I've put it in the hands of the powers that be. And ultimately, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. If I get feedback from said person about the email, then I know what I need to do. I know that I need to follow up on whatever they say I need to follow up on. Or I know that I need to be on top of my game and I need to be more assertive, or I need to do whatever. But whatever the case may be, it was a growth opportunity. Had I not taken the time to look at those thoughts, that growth opportunity would have never happened, and I would still be sitting here sulking, more than likely. So that's the first step for me, is saying, okay, let's look at this. So moving on, the next thing I think is really important is that balancing piece and stepping back, you know, to that previous conversation. So the balancing piece of, okay, am I being unreasonable? So I think that's one of the, biggest things with anxiety in general is, am I being unreasonable? Is this a reasonable fear? Is this a reasonable doubt? If I ask somebody that doesn't typically think reasonably, or isn't always the most together, I might not get the best answer. So it's very important to make sure that I am checking with the appropriate people. However, once I've established that, yes, this is an appropriate person to check with these things on, because they consistently make these decisions and they consistently do things to let me know that they are a good source, then I say, okay, so you've been consistently a good source of support for me. You've shown that you can, you've shown that you can, provide sound solutions or provide valuable feedback that I found to be true and that I can kind of check off of other people and all that good stuff. So I've done those things. And I've done my homework on my support, my resource. So once I've done my homework, then I say, okay, so am I being unreasonable in this situation? And I say, okay, so, and I lay the situation out for them to the best of my knowledge, including my own flaws, because if you don't lay out your flaws and you don't lay out the whole truth as you know it, then you're already kind of putting yourself in a bad situation. So So ultimately, that's the important part, is being honest with yourself. Because if you're not honest with yourself, you're not going to get honest feedback. It's not going to do any good. And then you're going to go back to that person and say, oh, hey, you gave me crap advice. You know, well, they probably gave you crap advice because they only had 10% of the problem, so they could only solve 10% of it, as opposed to giving them the whole 100 so that they could look at the whole picture. this is actually... That's one of the things that I struggle with as a therapist sometimes too, is I'm like, okay, so if you really want the help and you really want me to come in and help you with these things, I can't solve what I don't know. So if you don't tell me what's going on, I can't help you fix it. I'm not in your life like that. You know, I don't know you on a daily basis, so I can't come in and say, oh yeah, you know, this is what's going to be helpful for you, because I don't know, because you only give me a small piece of it. So even if you don't tell your support person or whoever the whole entirety of what's going on and you only give them a piece of it, know that you need to look at the whole picture and you got to be honest with yourself, because if you're fooling yourself, you're not doing yourself any favors. So looking at yourself and being completely honest with yourself, brutally honest with yourself about whatever the situation is, whatever's going on. That's an important piece to all of this, because, it's going to be a struggle. So that's what I do with myself. I say, okay, so I have to be brutally honest with myself here and say, okay, I did this, whatever this situation may be, and am I being unreasonable? If I'm being unreasonable, then I know I need to check myself and I need to reevaluate my approach to things. I know that I need to reevaluate where my head is, where how I'm, I guess how I'm interacting with people is the best way I can put it. And I need to make sure that I may owe somebody an apology. And, you know, especially if it's somebody that's a meaningful relationship to me. So I do that and I say, okay, if I'm being unreasonable, what part of this is unreasonable and what part do I need to check? What part do I need to make sure I adjust in the future? Whatever, you know, whatever part that may be. So then once that's done, again, it all comes back to that learning experience. So I take that as my learning experience and say, okay, so I was an idiot here. I did this. I should have done this. Now that I know I should have done this, when I encounter any kind of situation like that in the future, I know that I need to make this decision or I'm going to be beating myself up again. I'm going to be in the same spot. I don't want to be in the same spot. I don't want to be stuck. So I've decided that I'm going to do things differently. That's what I do. It's not always that easy. It's not always that perfect. It's not one of those situations where it's like, oh yeah, well, now that I know that, I'm just going to make the best decision every time. Like, let's get real. We're all human. We all make mistakes. The important part is that we're cutting down on harm to ourselves and on risk. So, yes, there is the possibility that you will still make, we'll just call them crap decisions because that's ultimately kind of what they are. There is the possibility that we will still sometimes make crap decisions even when we know that we shouldn't. And even when we know that that's not right, we will still do that. Because we are human, we do these things. Like, it happens. What we don't want to do is turn that into a pattern of misery, because eventually that's what it will become. We'll get to this point where it's like, how did I get this way? How am I stuck like this? Why does this keep happening to me? All that kind of stuff, right? So then we become the victim. We become the victim. We become this person that has no control over our life. And we become this person that, feels like somebody else always has the reins, which sucks. I mean, I've been there. I've done that. Like, it's especially true for teenagers and, you know, young people, because ultimately, they don't get as much say in their life as an adult does. That's another day, though. That's a whole other conversation. Point being, when we feel stuck like that, I can't think of many times where I'm like, oh boy, I can't wait to feel stuck again. Like, that's going to be great. No, I can't think of the last time that I've ever said that. So I want to do the things that I can to make sure I don't get stuck. I want to do what I can to make sure that I learn from my mistakes. So that, again, you know, all these things kind of build on each other. And I know I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I'm going to loop back. I think one of the important things is being sure to make sure that you adjust your mindset and make sure that you adjust. Make sure that you're not coming from a place of perfection. Because it's easy to do, and it's easy to say, oh, well, I couldn't have done anything wrong here, and it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, of course I handled that well on me. It's like, well, it's great that you've got confidence in yourself, but nobody's perfect, and you can always learn from something. Even if you learn from what you did well, you can still learn from something. So, the important part is that you come at it from the right frame of mind. So if you come at it from a place of learning and you come at it from a place of, okay, I may have been wrong in this situation. Let me look at how I was wrong. You learn from how you were wrong, or you learn from, you know, and I say wrong. It's not wrong to somebody else. It's wrong to you. Because ultimately you're the one that's got to live with your decisions and your life. Nobody else is going to be able to take those for you. Nobody else, you know, people may be able to help with consequences, but ultimately you're the one that has to truly live with them. So, so if you come from it of the place of, okay, I could have done something wrong here in the sense that I, you know, it's going to create something I don't like, some sort of consequence I don't want, or some sort of whatever, I need to change this, or I need to consider changing it, looking at it. If you come at it from that place, then you're bound to succeed. I mean, ultimately, like, that's about 90% of the work. That's about 90% of everything is okay. So I may have screwed something up here. What did I screw up, and how can I fix that in the future? How can I make sure that I lower, you know, again, it's not going to be perfect. So how do I make sure that I lower the chances that I screw that up again, or at least not screwed up in that way? Because ultimately you may still screw it up. That's the sucky part about it. Like, there is no perfect answers, hardly ever. However, so if you look at it in that way, you say, okay, am I being unreasonable? What, if anything, did I mess up? And how can I fix that? That, I'm not going to say that attitude has, like, completely changed things for me in the sense of everything's better all the time, or I'm making the right decision all the time, or or that I'm perfect, or whatever the case may be. Like, there's just, that's not reality. However, I do find that the amount of times that I go back and say, oh wow, like, I royally screwed that one up, are a lot lower, just because I'm more comfortable with me. I've checked with a lot of people that I care and trust, and ultimately they typically agree that, well, yeah, you know, for the most part, you made the right decision. You could have done this a little differently, but ultimately, like, if your goal is this, then you accomplish that goal. Like, okay, cool. I think that's another thing to keep in mind too, is like, you have to know yourself. You have to know what matters to you. You have to know your goals. So if your goal is to have a healthy relationship, and your and your goal is to have a healthy friendship or whatever, and then you do things that directly contradict that goal, you need to look at that goal and say, okay, so is this really my goal, and I'm just shooting myself in the foot, or do I need to reevaluate my goal? Because while maybe I really care about people, what I really want is to just be accepted. Okay, cool. Well, how do I be accepted? Well, you know, I can go along with flow or whatever. Ultimately, you completely change and adjust the way that you're approaching things, and you find that you're a lot happier. You know, there's just a lot of things like that that you can do that that cut down on a lot of that anxiety, and cut down a lot of that fear, and a lot of that second guessing, and a lot of the mind games that kind of come into play. Sorry, give me just a second. So the whole second guessing thing, that's where a lot of that comes from. It's like, okay, so because I value X, Y, and Z, because I value family, or because I value friendship, or because I value other people or other people's feelings, or because I value, I don't know, emotional well-being, or because I value leisure time, or because I value being productive, or being responsible, or being mature, or being reasonable. Because I value those things, some more than others, I need to make sure that I'm making decisions that line up with that. Because if I don't make decisions that are lining up with that, I'm setting myself up for a rough time. Because then it's like, then that's where a lot of second guessing comes into play. Like, okay, well, so I'm doing this, or I say that this is what matters to me, and then I'm doing this, and those two things don't match up. So something's got to give. And you feel like you're constantly beating your head against the wall. It's not the most fun. I've been there. I've done that. So I think that's how I've cut out on a lot of this, the second guessing, and a lot of the, well, you know, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or and I think another piece to this, and again, not all of this is directly my experience. You know, like I said, sometimes I'm going to pull from other experiences. So I found a common theme or common language among some of the people I work with. And typically, that involves their mind taking them places they don't want to go. And that could be in a lot of different ways. I mean, that could be, I don't even know, honestly. A lot of different ways. So that could be worst case scenarios. It could be second guessing. It could be just feeling an overbearing amount of fear. It could be feeling a pit in your stomach that you just can't shake. It could be getting tension headaches and stress headaches. Could be a lot of different things. Again, you know, the different ways that anxiety appears in our lives. So ultimately, I guess what it comes down to is these things happen and these things come to be. And if we don't keep it in check, it can take us to a dark place. And one of those, that's probably one of the most common things that I've heard over and over again, is that my mind takes me to a dark place, right? And so sometimes for some people that's an endless loop of fear. Sometimes that for people is thinking about ending their life. Sometimes for people it's keeping themselves awake at night consistently, and because they're so keyed up that their worry is keeping them awake. All that kind of stuff. So ultimately, all of that kind of feeds into this dark place, this place they don't want to go. And yet their mind keeps taking them there. It's like, okay, so wait a minute. So you're kind of like a victim to your own mind? Like, is that what's going on? Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's got all these weird worries and fears and concerns, and I don't want my mind to go there. I don't want to think about these things. It's just automatic. It's just what I do. Oh, okay. And I mean, like I said, I've done that too. But I think one of the important things is recognizing that. If you don't recognize that your mind's taking you there, and then all of a sudden you start feeling like you're stuck in this ugly place, then, you know, you got bigger things to worry about. But once you recognize that, it's like, okay, so my mind keeps taking me to this dark place. I keep thinking about all these worst case scenarios. I keep feeling like I'm stuck in this endless loop of, I don't want to be here. I hate feeling this way. I hate that I'm constantly thinking about all these bad things and all these things that I don't want to think about. And yet here I am, I'm stuck. And I feel like I can't escape it no matter what I do. I try to, you know, think about positive things. I try to put positive spins. I try to do all these things. Nothing seems to matter. It's like, okay, so a lot of the times that's when those people are avoiding things. That's when they're saying, like, I just, because I don't want to be there and because I don't want to be in that headspace, I'm just going to keep avoiding it. And, I mean, this isn't necessarily true for everybody, but my experience in general, in 6 years of being a therapist, is that anytime you try to shove something down, it's going to come back, and it's going to come back in an ugly way. 9 times out of 10, because those thoughts and feelings don't like being shoved down that way. I mean, it's just not. Again, you know, our minds, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason, and our minds know what we need, even when we don't recognize that. So, yeah. That might be why people are going to a bad place sometimes.
So I apologize for the abrupt ending there, but per the usual, if you couldn't tell by the title, I made this a multi-part episode. So that concludes part 1 of episode 16. I hope that you all are enjoying these episodes, and I hope that you're enjoying the structure of the episodes and me mixing things up, because I feel like having that mix up gives eventually everybody what they're looking for in the podcast. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Feel free to join us next week for part 2, where we wrap things up as far as anxiety is concerned for now. And we continue to bring you the best content possible. See you soon.